This is The Pulse, stories about the people and places at the heart of health and science. I'm Mike and Scott. This story is from our episode on conservation. You can find us wherever you get your podcasts. How we view certain animals and whether we want to protect them often depends on where we encounter them. In cities, wildlife tends to elicit shrieks of horror rather than cries for compassion. Xavier Lopez has this look at wildlife in the city.
Carroll Gardens in Brooklyn looks like many other East Coast city neighborhoods. Three-story brownstones, trees dotting the sidewalks, grocery stores, cafes, flower boxes, people walking their dogs, a cat in the window. But a few years ago, neighbors started to see some unexpected visitors.
I had watched two raccoons on the roof across from me at night in the winter, walking across the roof and going into one vent and then coming out the other.
Antonio Ferraro Martinelli is a longtime resident and a sort of unofficial block captain, the neighbor everybody calls with their burning questions.
I had heard my other neighbor's stories of all of the fecal matter left by raccoons on her deck. I had heard the story of her neighbor who had a wrestling match with one of the raccoons in his first floor that was under construction and the damage that the raccoons sort of left.
Antonia says one of her neighbors had an especially close encounter.
She was trapped in her kitchen and couldn't go out into her deck because there was a giant raccoon on it. I went out to my deck and sprayed her raccoon with my hose. I had my three children in my house. I had her two children in my house. And then I had the other neighbor's daughter in my house. So one of those children videotaped.
Oh.
Attack!
Oh,
oh my god!
Oh my god, are you getting this, Claude?
Yes. And so she videotaped me spraying the hose at the raccoon.
Felix's yard!
It is so fat.
Raccoons in backyards. In all of her years living in Brooklyn, she had never seen anything like this. But not seeing wild animals in the city does not mean they're not there.
Some animals, they eat, sleep, and breathe city. So they were born in the city, they're gonna die in the city. They don't go anywhere else.
That's Christopher Schell. He's an urban ecologist currently at the University of Washington, Tacoma. He's an expert on raccoons and also coyotes in cities. And he's a little bit of a nerd, which I enjoyed.
Point of awesome trivia fact is, if you ever played Super Mario Bros. 3, where Mario has the what looks like a raccoon tail, it's actually not a raccoon, it's a raccoon dog, also known as a tanuki. And they look a lot like raccoons, but they're canids, not procyonids.
Christopher says part of the reason we don't see coyotes and raccoons is because they prefer it that way.
They know how to travel around people, and they know how to essentially stay in the shadows. One of the nicknames for coyotes, for instance, from indigenous tribes and stories, is they are called the ghosts of the plains, because it's like, if you see them once, good luck seeing them again.
When these species live in cities with us, they get a little creative in their efforts to avoid humans.
So we studied, for example, raccoons in Baltimore. And it turns out that the raccoons were living and moving through the sewer systems.
That's Stan Garrett. He's a professor of wildlife ecology at Ohio State University. Like Chris, he studies both raccoons and coyotes using GPS tracking and remote camera traps. Coyotes are pretty wily themselves. When they're in cities, they learn traffic patterns and how to navigate through our infrastructure. There's even videos of them looking both ways before crossing the street.
Coyotes will use the rail lines, the railroads, or either the current railroads or old railroads that go right into the city, subways. They'll use subways as a travel lane. They'll use our bridges, and they'll use our interstates or our major expressways.
These animals are adapting and learning to live with us because there are some benefits. Here's Christopher again.
They get year-round food. So the food subsidies are just bonkers.
While the natural diet for these creatures is mostly fruits, vegetables, small rodents, and rabbits, a lot of times they end up eating human food as well.
There are costs. So, yeah, they may be eating a lot of food, and the food is natural and human food subsidies, but, human food is just not great. Yeah, it's not great for us, but it's definitely not good for wildlife. They're doing what they can to survive, but can we say that they're thriving when they eat mostly cheeseburgers? No, none of this is okay. None of this is right.
A lot of people think of animals like raccoons and coyotes in the city as nuisances. Like, call animal control, have them put down. But behind the scenes, they're doing important work.
They're providing pretty much a free ecosystem service by eating just rats generally in the city. They will eat the rodents that we think are pests.
So they are a natural form of pest control, taking out creatures that can transmit diseases to humans. Raccoons, with their more flexible diet, have also been known to eat other types of obnoxious pests.
There are videos of raccoons, for instance, in Florida, taking iguanas that are almost as big as them.
They also help disperse seeds from the fruits that they eat in our urban forests and parks. When it comes to coyotes, Christopher thinks they're even heroic in their own way.
I like to call the coyote, at least in the urban context, the hero that we need, even though for some it's not the hero that we want, just straight up Batman style.
That's because coyotes are apex predators that dare to go in cities in ways that other predators wouldn't. They live here among us, in the shadows, eating rodents and protecting us from other types of nuisances. Here's Stan.
We have found that they are also an important kind of a bioregulator for other animals like white-tailed deer, which are difficult to manage and become overabundant. And actually, they're more dangerous in the sense that people hit them with their cars and can become injured. They definitely help to control Canada goose numbers, which Canada geese, that's an animal that also becomes overabundant in urban areas and has no predators except for the coyote. So, you know, coyotes kind of help to restore some of the balance that we need in these urban ecosystems.
We tend not to think about cities as habitat, other than for us, of course. But Naima Harris says that we should, and that we should remember how important things like green spaces are. Not only for us, but for the animals that share our cities with us.
If we don't have that quality habitat and wildlife are still there, what resources are they going to exploit then? Where are they going to go? Is there a higher potential that not having those green spaces actually means that now they're in your attic or they're in your backyard or they're in your basement? Does it create more opportunities for conflict because they are in the space, they're in the city, but then they don't have lots of great places to go?
Naima is a professor of ecology and evolutionary biology at the University of Michigan, and she's working on a new pilot program in Detroit that aims to educate people on how to be better stewards of nature in the city.
And it's called Wildlife Neighbors. And it is basically an education program in part with middle school youth from Detroit, 5th to 8th graders, and exposing them to the wildlife neighbors using remote camera traps that we put throughout the green spaces inside of parks.
Naima's project is aimed at kids because some older generations might already have preconceived notions about these animals, whether they're good or bad. But kids are more open-minded.
You can't think about necessarily protecting something or living in harmony or with some type of coexistence if you haven't developed an appreciation and a wonder, if you will, for those critters that are there.
But ultimately, these experts say that we have to rethink our role in the survival of these species in cities, from how we build roads to where we put parks, trees, and even buildings. For The Pulse, I'm Xavier Lopez.